instructions that when there is disease in the body, it has to be cured completely. Otherwise, it will flame up again, and it will overtake and consume the body. We have all experienced in our own lives, if we do not take care properly of our health, and we think, I'll be all right, I'm a devotee, I'm transcendental, everything's fine, I'll have no problem. Then we get in trouble, in big trouble, later on. Just like a few months ago, I was in Australia, and I had a small little hair, and it was a follicle, so I just plucked it, and, you know, a little pimple, press it, you think it's okay, it's going to be alright, right? And then it gets a little red, it gets a little infected, you put some cream on it, you think it's going to be alright. It's not a problem. I'm a big guy, this is a small problem, right? And and then you just leave it like that. For a few days, for a few weeks, it gets bigger, it gets more painful. You think, no, I'm not going to take any medicine. I can fight this. Within a matter of 2 weeks, the entire limb was completely swollen, red, and painful. And I had to go to the hospital, Bhaktananda Hospital in Mumbai. And I had to cut it open. And it was this deep. It was such a hole. Like the tip of your finger, the entire limb. Huge hole. If you don't treat it properly, maybe your whole limb has to be amputated. You get into big trouble. So we think, oh, it is something minor, we don't have to take care of it. But later on, it comes back to us, and we have to pay dearly. The same thing for fire. If you do not extinguish fire completely, and you just leave it there, it will consume the entire building. Or debts, like we've seen so many times. Devotees are in the mode of passion, and they think, oh, let us acquire this property and that property and the other property. Oh, it's no problem, you know, zero down payment, only 5 or 10% down payment, very low interest rate, only 3 or 4%. But then, if you calculate that over 10 years, 20 years of time, you have paid for the entire building, manyfold. But it's still not yours. You're still servicing the loan, and it doesn't belong to you. And anything happens, property value goes down, your economic situation changes, bank may come in, repossess, take it all away from you. Why? Because you did not extinguish the debt. You still have the debt. Even though nowadays people think, oh, I own a big house, or I own so many properties, I own so many cars, how much do they actually own? Most of it is on loan. It's like now that is big. Foreclosure in America and also in other countries. Home foreclosures. Because people could not pay their loans to their properties. But the personal debt which people owe on their credit cards and on their banks, that is many, many, many times bigger than what they were owing on their real estate. So, the point here is, if you got debt, pay it off, eradicate it, get rid of it. Otherwise, at one point, you will not be able to handle it, and it will overtake you. And the actual point is that, as a leader, or as any person, we are dependent on the advice of the ministers or the friends. In our case, because we're not kings and leaders, we're just regular folks, we still depend on the advice of good friends and of good counsel. You may think, no, I don't need anybody's advice. I can see very clearly what is the scenario. But just like here, look into this room. How much of this room can you see if you open your eyes? Those of you who have glasses, you just take your glasses off and it's all, you know, hazy. But even when you have your glasses on or you have a so-called good vision, you see 30 to 40% of this room. All the rest you don't see. So that means our vision is very limited. Why do you have rear view mirror in your car? Because otherwise you kill yourself. It's too dangerous. You have to see what's coming behind, what's on the side. You have to turn your head. That's why we need good advice and we need good friends in Krishna consciousness who are giving us good advice. Not the type of friends like Hamsa's ministers, who come and they praise you and they pat you on the back and they say, you are great, you're wonderful. Everybody's just envious of you. They don't know who you are. You just go ahead. You will finish all your competition and all your enemies in no time. Huh? Not those type of friends. A friend is somebody who actually tells us the truth, who actually gives us the straight talk, even if sometimes we may not like it. Sometimes it may be uncomfortable, and our ego tells us, what is this? He's supposed to be my friend, and you're talking like this to me? This is not possible. Don't you know how great I am? But a friend is somebody who actually helps you to overcome your problems and your obstacles. He's not somebody who bothers you up and just makes you very delusional and then lets you go down. And he drops you like a rock. No. A friend is somebody who is really, he's got your best interest at heart. And that's why he's talking to you on the basis, on the principle of honesty. So amongst Vaishnavas, in Vaishnava relationships, there's these two very, very important principles. Number one, honesty. You have to speak the truth. Now, it is also said that truth which is not palatable should not be spoken. You may be there talking to somebody, and you may tell this person, my dear sir, you got a big, ugly nose in your face. And it may be the truth, and everybody can see it. And he also knows it, because he has looked in the mirror, you know, and he knows it too. So by reminding him and telling the truth, you know, Prabhu, you have to speak the truth, right? There is no secrets in Krishna consciousness. So, do you do any service to this person? Will you get on the good side? Will you get that person's confidence by speaking the truth very blatantly? No, you would only upset this person and disrupt your relationship. So sometimes we have to use our sense of tact and discrimination and common sense. Of course, nowadays there's nothing as uncommon as common sense. So it is very difficult to know when to keep quiet and when to say something and what to say. And as we spoke yesterday evening in the seminar, according to time, place and circumstance and according to national and cultural customs, different things are acceptable and okay, and other things are totally unacceptable, depending on your cultural conditioning. So, we have to understand that. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the West, what did he do? The first thing, what did he do? He was just there in Butler, Pennsylvania, and he was just observing the customs of the American people. And he stayed there for 5 months, in the house of Sally and Gopal Agarwal. And he was just observing how they were dealing, how they were doing things, how things were going on. And in this way, he studied very carefully the nature, the exchanges of the American people. And then he started his preaching mission. He even wrote back to one of his friends back in India. He said, tonight I'm going to see an Indian dance performance. Now, I have not seen Indian classical dance in 40 years. And I have no interest whatsoever in seeing this woman dance. But I want to see how the American people are receiving this cultural presentation. And I want to see what is their ways of inviting people, of treating with guests, what are their social customs. Because I want to study this for preaching Krishna consciousness. So that is Srila Prabhupada's example. Just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he went to preach to the Englishman, he wore leather padded shoes. He wore a long frock and, you know, this turban thing. And he rode in a big car, in a limousine. Because he knew, if people see, oh, big car, nice shoes, people will respect him. What's the first thing people see when they see you on the street?
Clothes.
No. What's the first thing you look at?
Shoes.
No.
Expense.
Your smile. Your smile. If you look sad, depressed, despondent, nobody wants to talk to you. Nobody will take you seriously. So our first and foremost duty as preachers of this Krishna consciousness movement is to chant Hare Krishna and be happy, to actually be blissful. Otherwise the people will tell us, you tell me this book is about yoga meditation, how to get free from stress? Why don't you read it yourself? It looks like you need it more than I do. I had no problems so far today. The only problem I have is you. So get out of my way. Leave me alone. But if you're smiling, the person thinks, yeah, I will listen to this person for 5 seconds. Sure, why not? And the second thing they see is your shirt. And if you look respectable, they gain confidence, they gain trust. They think, yeah, this person is sensible. And then they see your shoes. You're not coming barefoot. You're not wearing, chewed up chapels, But you're looking decent. So people think, yes, if I give this person 10 pounds, it will be worth it. It's not just money thrown into the garbage. So the point is, if we want to have friends in Krishna consciousness, we have to allow them, we have to open our hearts. We have to open our minds to them. Because anytime anybody tells us something, and we say, hey, whoa, this is taboo. Don't go there, this is boundaries. This is my life, and this is your life, okay? If you want something with me, you can make an appointment with my secretary, or you can talk to my lawyer, but don't talk to me like that, okay? Now, why do people like this Western way of so-called culture? Because it's very impersonal. Oh, you're going to talk with my lawyer, you're going to talk with my secretary, you can talk to my answering machine, you can talk to my dog, but you cannot talk to me. Why? Because I'm not available. Because I don't want to be involved with you. Because I'm something special or I'm something important. Why people pay big money? So they can fly business class, first class, go to fancy hotels, VIP room, this and that. Just so they don't have to walk amongst the common crowd. Right? Just so they're distinguished. They don't have all these people who get on their nerves. But in this way, they only have people who say, oh, Mr. Smith, welcome Mr. Smith. What can we do to serve you, Mr. Smith? Very nice, Mr. Smith. And they hear that all day long. And at one point, they actually think, I'm Mr. Smith, and I'm a very important person. Because I have this piece of plastic, and every time I show it, everybody goes, ah. But that is not how we can live our life in Krishna consciousness. Because we may even think, oh, I am such and such, I am this and that. And we define ourselves by our social status, by our wealth, by our service, by our position, even by who is my spiritual master. First thing you meet somebody and they go, who is your guru? And you're like, I also wish you a nice day. How are you doing today? Like, hello, welcome, and goodbye. What's your job? What's your qualification? How much money do you make? How many cars do you have? What's your house? Now you get lost. This is not really connecting with the person. This is all superficial. This is external. If you really want to care for other devotees, we have to see what is their actual best interest. And how do we find that out? By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, by studying Bhagavad Gita in the association of devotees. Because we get good guidance from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We always have these 3 points of reference. And interestingly enough, they're aligned in one straight line. They give the same conclusion. They give the same opinion. So we can always test the advice which we're getting from our friends and counsel to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So, Kamsa was ill-advised. He was completely full of himself, and he had very bad counsel. And that's why he got himself into even bigger trouble than he already was in. Jai Shishi Jagannath Bhagavad Sudhadev Ki Jai Shishi Radha Vandaneshwar Ki Jai Maharaj Shishi Gauri Ki Jai. So to develop deep friendships in Krishna consciousness is important. It cannot be stressed enough. Why? Because when we are in a situation of difficulty, then who will be there to help us? Who will be there to give us solace? Who will be there to give us support? Our body, our mind, our senses? They have let us down time and time again. They have given us the wrong information, and they have led us on the wrong path so many times. We might say, I don't trust anybody. I can't trust anybody. Now, if you look here in this room, how many people here do you know and do you trust? How many people would you give your passport, your car keys, your house keys, and your credit card with the PIN number? How many people you would give that? And say, okay, no, I got to go to some other country and take care of something, and then I'll come back. So you please take care in the meantime. How many people do we trust? Do we trust ourselves? That's the biggest question. Do we trust ourselves? Now, when we try to spread Krishna consciousness movement, 90% of the time people are not taking the message of Krishna consciousness. It is because of a lack of trust. They think, this is not very good, you're not very trustworthy. They don't trust you. 90% of the time. So our first and foremost duty is to become trustworthy recipients of Guru and Krishna's mercy. We have to earn that trust. By showing to them, yes, number one, I'm honest. And number two, I'm faithful, I'm loyal. A friend is somebody who is always your friend, no matter how the wind moves, what the economic or political climate is, he's always your friend. And like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, to Arjuna, you declare it boldly, that my devotee will never perish. Why is he not saying it himself? Because Krishna, sometimes he breaks his promise. He does things in ways which people don't appreciate sometimes. But he always upkeeps the promise of his pure devotees. So, to be loyal, what does it mean to be loyal, to be faithful? We know, yes, you should be chaste, like your chaste wife to your husband, or a chaste husband to his wife. You don't cheat, there's no infidelity. But in the same way, we have our spiritual master, we have our Param Guru, Srila Prabhupada. Are we chaste to him and to his instructions? Or do we think, yeah, you know, Monday is this con, Tuesday is this group, Wednesday is that group, Thursday is that group, any given day of the week. Wherever there is some nice music and some nice food, that's where I'll go. Are we faithful philosophically? Do we stick to Srila Prabhupada's instruction and his Siddhanta? Or do we think, oh no, there is something higher, there is something more sublime, there is something more esoteric out there. So, that faithfulness, that loyalty, will earn us the trust of the spiritual master. And what happens if we earn the trust of the spiritual master? Then Guru can empower us to do unlimitedly wonderful things. But that empowerment comes when we serve in submission. Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain in the purport to that verse that both absurd questioning and what's the other thing? The two things which are... Yeah, we have to inquire submissively and render service. And then he says that both absurd inquiries and something else.
And a challenging spirit.
And a challenging spirit. I think that's what it is. Yep. No, but both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. So blind following is condemned. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become self-reliant and independently thoughtful. Self-reliant means you walk on your own 2 feet. You don't need somebody there every step of the way to tell you, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. But you can walk on your own. And independently thoughtful means you think with your own head. You're not just a programmed zombie. It's not that somebody just put a chip implant, you know, in you. And you go out and you say, my dear sir, take this, do that. Yes, no, no. Independently thoughtful. Use your own talents, your own God-given intelligence and abilities to serve Krishna. And to figure out how you want to serve Krishna. It is not that guru is a life coach, or a psychiatrist, a shrink, and he has to figure out all the mental garbage and all the problems of his disciples. Because in such a way, he will not be able to be guru. He'll have to get a big couch, and have a receptionist, and opening hours. But this is not humanly possible. To take care of these things. We have to get our counseling amongst the devotees. Spiritual master is not our psychiatrist, our shrink, our marriage counselor, our business advisor, our strategist. Spiritual master is guru. He's sadhu. He's there to give Krishna. And sometimes he cuts with his instruction. He gives us the vision, the detachment from the material world. So if we want to get the empowerment, we have to make ourselves worthy recipients of the mercy of the Guru and of the Vaishnavas. Now it is not that we think, oh, mercy comes from Guru and from Krishna, but I don't care about anybody else. Srila Prabhupada said, your love to me will be shown in as much as you cooperate once I'm not here anymore. Now, most of our Gurus are still here, and still, already there is non-cooperation or different types of ideas and groups and camps and competition. Even while the guru is still here. The etiquette is you wait till the guru is gone, then you start fighting. You don't fight before when he's still here because it shows you got no class, you got no culture. You have to wait till he's gone. But because we're very unfortunate, still these things are going on. So how do we become empowered? Little story in this regard. There's a devotee, his name is Buddhimanta. Maybe you've heard of him. He was one of the early book distributors. He was one of those who went to that gas station and gave Krishna books. Instead of paying for the gas, they gave books. One of the first big book distributors in America. Because in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada, they started to publish all these hardcover big and mahabhi books and nobody would distribute them. And then Srila Prabhupada, he got a little anxious. He said, I cannot publish all these volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam if you don't start distributing. So some devotees, they took that to heart. And they just put books in different stores and they started trading books for goods and commodities and they learned the art of how to distribute the books. So he was one of the pioneers of book distribution. Buddhimanta. And when he distributed so many books, Srila Prabhupada was very happy. He was very pleased with him. So one time Srila Prabhupada was giving a darshan. So many disciples were there. So many life members. So many guests were there. And Buddhimanta came in from book distribution from Sankirtan. And Srila Prabhupada saw him and he was very happy. And he asked him, how did he go? And Buddhimanta was smiling and he told him all the stories, what's happening. And Srila Prabhupada, he just started to unbutton his kurta, his shirt. And he took his shirt off. And in front of everybody, he gave his shirt to Buddhimanta, right there, in the room. He was bare-chested. Now that shirt of Prabhupada is still, you can still get it, today. If I tell you, down at the reception, Jani Thai Prabhu, the temple president, he's got a shirt of Prabhupada. And whoever runs down first will get that shirt. How fast will you run? Niket is already out the door. Do you want to get the shirt of Prabhupada? That's the question. Do we want to get the mercy of the Guru? Or do we think, oh yeah, I had mercy last week, you know. I'm doing okay. You know, I ate cake last year at such and such birthday or wedding. I don't need cake. No. If you hear that, you know, the best maha cake is downstairs, but there's only very little. How fast will you run? When you want to see enthusiasm in a temple, you just come around prasadam time. And you see all kind of energy, you know, moving in all directions. So, we are very enthusiastic to get prasadam. We want to get that shirt of Prabhupada, right? And you can still get it today. It's possible. When you engage in the preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you do what you can do, what is in your power, you give your contribution to spread this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to all living entities. You can get that empowerment from Prabhupada, that mercy. It is still available, because Prabhupada, he's not gone or not present. He's present in his books, he's present in his temple, he's present in his devotees, in his movement. So to think that he's not here means you don't understand the spiritual dimension, the spiritual potency. Srila Prabhupada said that my Guru Maharaj, although he has left this world 30-something years ago, there is not a moment where I feel he's not present in my life. So if we want to feel the empowerment, we want to get that Krishna Shakti Vinanahe Tara Pravartam, we have to engage in the preaching mission. Because that is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's, Srila Prabhupada's, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mission and heart desire. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent his book, Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts, to the McGill University in Canada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, if you ever get money, print books. He would praise the brahmachari. If you just went out and distributed a magazine, a few pages, for a few cents, he was so happy. Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, distribute my books. Know it for certain that there's no better way to preach this Krishna consciousness movement than through the distribution of these literatures, these books. Now we may think, oh, I'm just a small guy, you know, and what can I do? What difference does it make, right? Whether I distribute one book today or not. A big difference. To that person who got that one book, this one book means the world. This person doesn't care whether you distributed another 50,000 or no other books, because they got the book. They got the chance. They got the mercy. It's like the old man and the young man walking on the beach, and it's low tide and the crabs are stranded. Some of them are in bad shape because the sun is too hot and they're dying. So the old man throws them in the water, and the young boy says, what difference does it make? There's too many of them. You can't do anything. And he picks up a crab, looks at it, says it makes a difference to that one, throws it in. Picks up another one, says it makes a difference to that one, throws it in, and so on. So you may say there's 7 billion people out there. What can I do to make a difference? Well, did it make a difference that somebody gave you a book? Did that make a difference? I certainly hope so. If you can only make one person happy by giving them Krishna consciousness, is your day worthwhile living? Yes. Srila Prabhupada came to the West and he said, if I can only make one person Krishna conscious, I'm happy, I'm satisfied. And you're thinking, oh, I'm having this program at my house and only 5 people show up. What is this, you know? Is it useful? Is it worth it? Prabhupada was living with the hippies in the Bowery, sharing with them the living quarter, everything, the shower, the kitchen. People who were not following any principles. And he wrote back to his god brothers, now we have a center of Krishna consciousness, of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in the West. Please send some disciples and some money and some instruments so we can start preaching in a big way. Srila Prabhupada came and he just wanted to make one person a pure devotee, and so many people's lives got touched. So many people's lives changed. But the question is, do we have faith in this instruction? Or do we think, so many books have been distributed. What's the use, you know? What difference does it make, right? Well, because you're not out on the street, you don't talk to these people. If you'll be out there, every day you meet 5 or 10 or 20 people who say, you know, I'm a Christian, but this is the Bhagavad Gita. This is the best book I've ever read in my life. This makes sense. You have people who give up sinful life just by reading Bhagavad Gita. I was just in Russia. There was one devotee He said he got a book, Perfect Question, Perfect Answers. And he got it, he went home, he read it in the afternoon. The whole night he was dreaming the Hare Krishna mantra. Just it didn't go out of his head. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then, the next day, he went to the temple to check it out, and he became a devotee. Just by reading one book. I was distributing a book in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago, and at a concert, and I was inside the venue, very loud. There was one young student from Mexico who was studying in LA, and he came up to me and said, "Is this Hare Krishna? Is this Bhagavad Gita as it is?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You know, in my community college, this Bhagavad Gita is in the library. And just 2 weeks ago, I finished reading the entire Bhagavad Gita. And my conclusion is that God, Krishna, is directly speaking to me in this book. And he's telling me to give up my sinful ways and to surrender my life to him. So I want to become like you. I want to become a monk. What can I do to do that? And I'm really sorry I'm out here, you know, in this concert and I drank some beer. But I know I should give this up, but please help me how to do this." These people are out there. They're out here. Huh? Right, out the door. But the question is, do we have the vision? Do we have the eyes and the mentality to see it like that? Or do we think, oh, you know, hogs, dogs, camels and asses. They're all just animals, demons, you know. Kalki avatar, Kijai. He will come and he will destroy them all. Huh? What happened to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda? What happened to spreading the mercy? What happened to giving people some compassion, some kindness? We're a long way from Kalki Avatar. Huh? How many years till Kalki Avatar?
427,000.
That's a lot of years. So, do we want to say, you know, Kalki Avatar Ki Jai for 427,000 years? Or do we want to say Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, Kija? Huh? So, these people are out there. Also here in England. I just flew over from Dublin to London Heathrow. And while waiting outside for the devotees to pick me up, I always take a book with me whenever I travel. Always have one of Prabhupada's books with you. Because when you meet that nice person and you don't have the book, how does that make you feel? Makes you feel like naked, like you know, like you got no clothes on. It's like you got nothing to give to this person. So I took the, you know, teachings of Lord Kapila Dev with me. And I was outside the airport, and you know how it is outside airports, everybody goes to have a smoke, right? And they're all, you know, a bit stressful. So I met this chap, just slightly older than myself, short, stockish guy, and he was smoking his cigarette, and I just gave him teachings of Lord Kapila Dev, and I said, "This book about yoga meditation teaches you how to get free from stress. Have you ever stressed before?" And he says, "Yes, yes, yes." Huh? And I said, "Really? How come? You look very peaceful. You look very calm. I can see it in your eyes, you know. You look very spiritual. What's your secret?" And then he said, "I do meditation. You know, actually in 3 weeks I'm going to Delhi for a Kriya Yoga seminar." Huh? And I said, "Wonderful. So taste this book. Don't sell these. We're monks. We're taking vows of poverty. You can just give a donation to help us out." And he gave me €5. He gave me his email. He was very happy to meet me. You know, he embraced me. He was very happy to meet a devotee. Huh? Outwardly, you may think this guy, not shaved, smoking a cigarette, forget him. Next one, please. Next one in line. Come on. Huh? What if somebody would have done the same with us? "I don't like your face, I don't like the way you're dressed. Next one." No. Can't be like that. You have to be merciful. You have to develop that compassion. And Srila Prabhupada, he was not making these distinctions. He was giving the mercy to everybody. That is the nature, that is the quality of the pure devotee. So, if you want to become empowered, if you want to get Srila Prabhupada's mercy, if you want to get Prabhupada's shirt, somehow try to distribute Krishna consciousness. Giving people some books, giving prasadam, distributing the holy name, inviting people here, inviting them to your home. It's very powerful. It changes people's lives, and it changes your life too. So wherever you go, always carry some literature given to people. People will be so appreciative. Don't think, oh, this is not the custom. People don't do this. Of course they do this. If you're amongst friends, isn't it, oh, I just read this great book, you know? Okay, you know, you want to have mine? You can check it out. This is common, right? This is regular affair. So we shouldn't think, oh, this is socially not acceptable. No, very much so. People like this. So we can influence people's lives. If they just read one word, if they just read one page, their life will be changed. These books are like smart bombs. They find their target. Sometimes it takes some time till they go off. Just like in Russia, when the devotee told me that before coming to Krishna consciousness, he was a thief. And his speciality was he would climb houses, the buildings from outside, and go into the windows and steal everything, rob them, and go out again. That was his unique, you know, speciality. So one time he was in an apartment and he heard some noise from the main door, from the front door. So he said, oh, they're coming home. I better split, otherwise I'm in trouble. But I've taken all this trouble to come up into this flat. So I gotta steal something, otherwise it's not worth it, you know? So he just grabbed the book from a kitchen table, went out the window, went down, went home. And then when he's home, he looked, you know, Bhagavad Gita. And he started reading. And he went to the temple and he became a devotee. And all his friends who were also, you know, thieves and, you know, mafia type of people, gangsters, they also started visiting. And they started taking the devotees out in Sankirtan with their big fancy cars, with their limousines. And the devotees asked them, what's your job? What do you work? Why do you have such a nice car? And they would say, you know, the Lord is very merciful. He's very kind. He gives. And then the devotee was saying, it's so funny, but formally I look at the houses and I think, wow, this is a nice house. I could steal so much here. And now I'm thinking, wow, this person is suffering so much. He's completely oblivious of his real identity. Let me go there and give them Krishna consciousness. That's the difference in mentality, just by getting one of Prabhupada's books. Sometimes you give a book to somebody, he may not read it, but somebody else might. Huh? It's like in America, I talked to Ratna Bhushan. He's a Prabhupada disciple in Los Angeles who takes care of the Ratayatra carts. Just so you see what is the potency, the effect of Prabhupada's books. Because sometimes we think, oh, there's millions of books out there and nobody reads them, doesn't make a difference, doesn't really change anybody's life. The devotees were traveling through America in the 70s, early 70s, and North Dakota is like a really sparsely populated state. So somewhere in North Dakota, they stopped and they took gas, and they paid with books. So they gave a whole lot of books to their gas station owner. And he sold those books to the customers who came later on in the coming days because he wanted to recover his money for the gas. So Ratna Bhushan's older brother, he was friends with the gas station's owner's son. So he went there to get gas for his bike and he bought one of the books and he became a devotee. And then he took off to LA, to the temple. But before that, he gave his book to his brother who also became a devotee. Huh? So you may think, you know, what matters? What does it make a difference? Like I travel a lot and I meet these people time and time again. I meet devotees who come up to me in Mayapur and say, Hare Krishna Prabhu, do you remember me? And I say, no. Because, you know, you see a lot of people. And they say, you know, you gave me that book, you know, 12 years ago in San Francisco. And I read it. It took a long time, but after I finished college, then I joined the temple. Now here I am. You say, Jai, Srila Prabhupada. Huh? And then later on, because the story is not finished with our book distributor. Mm-hmm. What was his name? The one who got Prabhupada's shirt? Unimanta. Later on, he was very ill. He had leukemia, and he was very ill. He was in Vrindavan, and just about to leave his body. So Danudar Swami took Harinamanam and myself to visit him. And even though his consciousness went from clear to delusional and again clear, when he started to speak about Prabhupada, he was as lucid as the clear sky, as the sun. And he told all the stories and all the experiences he had on Sankirtan. And then he just started laughing. And we asked him, why are you laughing? He said, I just distributed a few books and Prabhupada gave me his shirt. And you guys are distributing thousands and tens of thousands of books. What will Prabhupada give you? And he started laughing like anything. Huh? And it was very emotional. And then later on we went back to the West and went back out in Sankirtan, and we heard Pudimanta left this world and went back to Krishna. And we saw the calendar, we saw it was Shivaratri. And on that day, every devotee remembered who I asked, that they've done the biggest score they've ever done. It was not a marathon. But somehow, Krishna just said, today, it's free for all. Everybody can get these books. Because today is the day where my pure devotee, Pudimanta, comes back to me. And he sacrificed his life for book distribution. That's why. Everybody can get these books. I need 250 Mahabhidhan big books, you know, like two Srimad Bhagavatam sets and two full sets, you know. Maybe 1600 or 1800 pounds. Just going door to door. People were just throwing money at me. I didn't know what happened. You know? Sometimes people just smile and say, how much? And you were like, hey, wait a moment. Not so fast. I have to explain this to you first. No. It's all good. How much? Just don't stand in the way. Just let the mercy flow. So, if you want to become the recipient of Prabhupada's mercy, if you want to become empowered, be honest, be loyal, be faithful. Then that mercy will stick. Otherwise, we'll just, you know, see it pass us by. And that's very unfortunate. That's very regrettable. Having had that chance, that opportunity, but letting it slip. So, and to give other counsels in Krishna consciousness and to receive good instruction from other devotees, even sometimes it goes a little close to home, goes a little close to heart. It's not always the most pleasurable thing to hear. But that is the way how we can be safeguarded against the influences of Maya. Otherwise, we'll just take our mind and our senses as our counsel. But they have misguided us for such a long time. They have said, eat, sleep, move, jump, left, right, stop, back. And we have been a very faithful dog. We have been a very faithful servant for such a long time. But we're not peaceful. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatman Shochati Nakshati Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madhbhakti Mavate Param. Why do we still have hankering and lamentation? Because we're not on the Brahma Bhuta platform. Because we're still following the platform of the mind. And there is no peace, there is no happiness in the platform of the mind. So, let us follow the instruction of Srila Prabhupada and the pure devotees. Let us engage ourselves in the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and give this great gift to all other living entities. And the more you give it, the more you get it. The more you receive, the more you taste Krishna consciousness yourself. That is the open secret. So it is not very difficult. You just get some books, a few small books, one Bhagavad Gita, and whoever you meet, you give them a book. And some people will give you some donation, and some people will not. But at the end, it will always work out. I have a friend, he's a taxi driver. He always buys cases of small books. And whoever comes into his taxi, at the end, he gives him a small book. And sometimes people give a tip and sometimes not. And he said, it's mystical. Always when my box of books is finished, I have enough money in the jar to buy the next box. I never have to give extra money. Always when the books are out, I have enough to get the next box. And people are so appreciative. They're so thankful. Because this is real substance. This means giving something of real value. In Kali Yuga, we cannot change the world by distributing clothes, by distributing money, by distributing food. All these things are limited. But if you give people Krishna conscious literature, they can change their lives and they can really benefit. They can really uplift their existence. So they will not be ill-advised from their faulty friends and faculties, like Hamsa was ill-advised. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? you supposed to be my friend? Huh? Don't just sit and smile. Oh, you know, let him go down. If you care for me, you have to give me your mercy. Huh? When you go out and you distribute, I just want 10% of your mercy. Not of your profit, not of your collection, just 10% of your mercy. Can you do that? Can you give me 10% of your mercy? What do you think?
20%.
20? You're feeling magnanimous there. Huh? Most of them thinking, wow, you know, it's an early Friday morning to give 10% just like that, you know? It's too much to ask. We have to learn the art of being benevolent, being liberal, being kind-hearted. And the more you share, the more you will get. But if we are always worried, how much will I have? How much will be left over for me? Well, how much does it need? How much do you need? One drop of Krishna consciousness, one drop of mercy is enough to drown. You can drown in one drop of the mercy ocean of Lord Nityananda. Just one drop. So you're all Brahmins. You have to be liberal. You have to be magnanimous. It is your duty. I know it's recession and everybody is kind of, you know, climbing down, you know. But not in Krishna consciousness. Yes. Please. Yes.
But after you live down the road, kind of very few books, what would you advise?
Well, it's like me. I'm feeling the same way. What do you advise? You just... It's an incremental thing. You just always take some books with you. And whenever you meet that nice person in the post office, in the bank, in the supermarket, administrator, here, there, on the street, while traveling. I mean, every day, there is at least one nice person, right? Where you feel like if I had a book, they would take it and they would appreciate it, right? So then if you don't have it, you can't give it. You can't distribute books that you don't have. So you have to have the book with you. It's not a matter of, okay, I did 200 books before per day, and now I'm only doing one book. We already spoke about that. That one book can make a devotee, or many devotees. Like in some countries, many people read one book. I heard from a devotee, he was distributing in Russia, and he met another person who was distributing books. And he went up to him and he said, Prabhu, Hare Krishna, which temple are you from? And that person said, temple? What are you talking about? He said, yeah, temple, you know, ISKCON, Hare Krishna. And he said, what? What are you talking about? I just got this book a few months back, and I read it. And in this book, it says that you should distribute this knowledge to others. So I just went, and I got this book copied, and I go out, and I distribute to others, because I like this book. What are you talking about, temple and movement? He didn't know that there was a movement, you know, that there was an ISKCON society. He just got a book, and he read it, and Krishna says, you're very dear to me if you give this knowledge to others. So he went, and he copied the books, and he distributed it. So that just happened from one book. And that's happening in so many places. But because we are, you know, preoccupied with our own lives, we don't see things in the proper perspective. So every book counts. Every endeavor counts. Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardan. He accepts the essence. He's not after the score. He already owns everything. He already got all the numbers. Huh? He's after the essence. What's the essence? What we can offer him? It's our love. It's our dedication. It's our endeavor. It's our gratitude. It's a little bit of sincerity. Okay, I'm trying to do this, even though it's hard. Huh? I know I'm going to go out today with a few of you and distribute some books. And the mind is saying, oh, you know, I've done it in the past. I've done my 100 books on Oxford Street, you know. So it's not going to be 100 today. So why bother, right? It's probably not such a beautiful day, so... But it's good, you know, when you just put yourself in the condition, I'm going to go out, I'm going to distribute a book. You know what happens? You sober up. You get the edge. And it's very good, because that edge will keep you safe in Krishna consciousness. Because sometimes we just think, oh, it doesn't matter, you know. It's another day, you know, another day, Hare Krishna, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And we become a Hari Bol, you know. But if you start doing something substantial for the preaching mission, this puts you on the edge. And that's very healthy, you know. Makes you sober up. Any other questions or comments?
Just wanted to share Prabhupada because he inspired me. Kavichara Maharaj said, the more books we give, the more books will come to us. As you said, the more Krishna consciousness we give. And also I wanted to ask you, did you hear Prabhupada was asked, how we can increase book distribution? And Srila Prabhupada said, if you chant all your 16 rounds with one go,
yeah.
What would you comment on this?
There is nothing to comment.
But did you practice, and
of course. Really? I'm not going to reveal all the secrets, but it's an open secret. You sit down, you chant your 16 rounds. You read Srila Prabhupada's books every day. How many of you are reading Prabhupada's books every day? I'm not asking how much, I'm just asking whether you're reading. You have to read. People will ask you, what does it say there in this book about this banyan tree? You know, branches down and roots up. And you say, no, this is not about botany or biology, you know. This is Bhagavad Gita, this is philosophy. No, there is, you know, it says about this banyan tree. No. You have to know. Huh? Otherwise people will think you're a fool. You can't say, oh, my guru, he wrote these books, you know, for me to sell and for you to read. We have to take the medicine ourselves, otherwise we'll not be trustworthy. People will not have faith, you know. Reading, chanting, associating, serving, it's a full package. Some days it's a little less of this, a little more of that. But the spirit is always there. Never think, oh, today I'm not fit, I cannot do my service. We're also eating, right? We're also sleeping. We're taking all these things very seriously. So Srila Prabhupada's mercy is very much present here in this temple. It's a very special place, very unique place. And you're taking great austerities to live in the heart of one of the, you know, most important and also very materialistic city on this planet. You got to be here for a reason. Because if you open the window, you don't hear the birds chirping, and you don't, you know, get the nice breeze from the lush forest, you know. So there's got to be a reason why you're here, right? Either you've got business here, or you've got preaching here. Otherwise, there is no reason why to be here. Okay, you take care of the Lord, the deity, but that is preaching. All the people who come here, they see their lordship, Sri Sri Radha Londoneshwar, how beautiful, how spectacularly splendid they look. And then they just turn around and see a devotee and say, hey, take one of these books. And they ask, is it as great as the Lord? He says, it's not different. It's the same thing. Just take it. I tried to distribute a book to a person in America, in the airport. And you know, sometimes people just, they hold it, like once everything is said and done, but then comes this moment of silence. It's called the moment of truth. You know, give a donation and then you hear, you know, the flies, wings, and you know, you hear the ants sneeze, and it's just very silent. He just would not take it. And I tried from all. But he was attached, he wanted to have it, and he was trying to remember. And then he said, 1987, Rainbow Gathering, I ate fried dough dumplings in strawberry sauce. Is this the same book? Is this the same taste? Is this the same people? I said, yes. He said, how much? He had eaten strawberry malpura at a festival of the Hare Krishnas in a big rock concert. And just that one experience of prasadam convinced him to take the book. So never underestimate the power and potency of prasadam. And sometimes we have to go the extra mile. Sometimes we have to put in a little extra effort. And don't think in the box, you know? Go outside the box. Huh? Expand not just our comfort zone, but think outside the box. Like one time I was distributing books. I know you're working overtime, but it's Friday, you know? And since you don't get paid by the hour, you work for the project, right? So overtime is just part of the job, right? So we're going a little bit into overtime. Sorry, I'm going to finish up in 3 minutes here. Just a short last story for the weekend, you know, to give you the buzz. So it's worth it. I was distributing in Mumbai, in Dadar Station. How many of you have been to Mumbai? How many of you have been to Dadar Station? It's a busy place, right? There's millions of people. It's probably one of the most busy train stations in the world. I was distributing books there, and there was one person coming, and he was dressed all in black. Black hat, black hair, long hair, black shirt, pants, coat, boots, and carrying a guitar case, black guitar case. So he was a heavy metal rock guitarist from Iran. And I spotted him, and I stopped him, and I gave him Bhagavad Gita. And he was very interested. He held the book, and he said, "Wow, this is interesting, Farah." But when I asked him for the donation, he wouldn't participate. So I tried from this side, from all 10 directions, I tried to induce it. And he just wouldn't move. So I had to give up. I said, "Krishna, I can't give this person a book. But he's from Iran. He needs this book. He can make a difference. He's recording his rock album here in Bombay. What if he reads this and his life changes and he makes some Krishna conscious lyrics? See what happened to George Harrison, you know? One person was able to touch the lives of so many people. Why? Because his life was touched by Prabhupada. So I just prayed to Krishna and said, "Krishna, please, if I've ever chanted, if I've ever been sincere, give this person the book, give him the chance. Huh? I'm all in, you know?" So, and then I did something which usually I never do, but sometimes, you know, Krishna just inspires you. So I just embraced him. And I went, "Hare Krishna!" And I had to do it three times. "Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna!" And then, all of a sudden, you know, the coin dropped. And his eyes became clear. And, you know, his wallet came out. He gave me those 100 rupees. And he walked away with his gita smiling. So sometimes you have to extend yourself beyond the call of duty. You have to go that extra mile. You go out on a limb. But Krishna is there protecting you. It's not just about playing it safe. We're not just, you know, thinking about our pension plan and our retirement benefits. "Oh yeah, where are you going to go? Vrindavan, Mayapur? You know? How is your room going to look like?" I mean, you hear people talking like that. They're 30s. They're in their 40s. They're talking about retirement. Prabhupada took great risks in going on that arduous boat journey. 38 days on a cargo ship. Huh? We don't even want to take the boat to Ireland. Huh? We want to fly wherever we go, right? And they asked, "Prabhu, how was it?" "Oh, it was very painful, you know. I've got jet lag. I can't do any service." Prabhupada took a cargo boat, not a cruise ship to the Bahamas, a cargo boat to America, 38 days, huh? 2 heart attacks, major trouble. He was 70 years old. We are all in our prime of youth, and we are already thinking about retirement. Prabhupada was 70, he was past retirement. He was in Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Rupa and Sanatan, Radha Damodar Temple. Sannyasi, perfect situation. Just chant, you know, "Be happy, Krishna's mercy, be peaceful." Right? No. He risked it all just to go to the West and to give us Krishna consciousness. That is his greatness. That is why he is the founder Acharya. And he went like that icebreaker, you know, like that big tanker goes to the Arctic Sea. And then a few other people are coming with the canoes and their little boats and they're paddling through. But that's because the icebreaker went first. Otherwise it's just ice. Nothing happened. I started distributing books early 80s. People hadn't heard so much about yoga, meditation, vegetarianism, Hare Krishna, karma reincarnation. This is all standard now. This is all accepted amongst most levels of society. Why? Because Prabhupada's books have been preaching. They have made an impact on people's minds, on their consciousness. They may not follow, but they know it's good. They appreciate it. Oh, you're a vegetarian. Very good. Very healthy. I can't do it yet, but I know it's very good. So to show our gratitude, to show our thankfulness to Srila Prabhupada for the gift of Krishna consciousness we receive, let us work together. Because this Sankirtan movement is a combined effort. Samkirtana, Samyak Kirtan. It's not a single person's endeavor. It's a combined endeavor. This Sankirtan movement is bigger than all of us put together. It is a huge endeavor. There are 70 million people in this country. How many have we touched? How many people are we taking care of? How much guidance are we providing? We need to involve more people. We need to train up more devotees in the science of Krishna consciousness. But that can only happen if they trust us. That can only happen if we trust ourselves and if we trust this Krishna consciousness process. Because it all stands and falls with trust. So let us engage in hearing and chanting and practicing Krishna consciousness, for this will build our very solid trust in Srila Prabhupada and in his movement. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So thank you very much for your patience, for working overtime, and for doing so much wonderful service here for their lordships and for the people of this most important city, who are otherwise just lost. They just lost it completely. So, thank you for taking this preaching movement very seriously. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.
Please give us the name of the Lord.